Today, chapter 5. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas, and I trust you got everything your heart desired. But most of all, I hope you're satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you receive more of Him. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And if you'll turn there with us, we're going to endeavor to preach the Word of the Lord and a New Year's message coming to you from the standpoint of going forward into a new year. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And when you're there, give me a good amen. All right, Ecclesiastes, I still hear a few rustling of pages, that's all right. We'll give you a few more seconds here. And while you're turning there, I'll make a few announcements. How about that? Ecclesiastes chapter 5. But Wednesday coming up, on this coming Wednesday, in the bulletin here, we're having an abbreviated service from 7 to 8. And also, we have men's fellowship coming up next Saturday, and also first Sunday dinner. Have a ladies' auxiliary coming up, and this pamphlet here at the door has all that information. So please get one, because I'm not the best with announcements. So get one of those, and it'll keep you posted on everything that's going on. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 4, it says this: "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for He hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay." Verse 5, let's read that again. "Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay." We're going into a brand new year, as I already mentioned to you, the year of 2015. And around this certain time of year, ending of 2014, the ending of one year and the beginning of another, has anybody ever heard of a New Year resolution? Oh, wow. I did a little research on New Year resolutions and what they really are. And you begin to study what they are. It's when a person makes a promise to do an act of self-improvement or something slightly nice. It is the idea of making a commitment that you are going to do something this year and going to do something better. A month or so ago, I came past a gym somewhere. And on the side of the gym, it says the New Year is coming up, make that New Year's resolution and lose weight, is the whole idea. I understand, as I begin to read, even gym memberships go up around the New Year's. Everybody says going to eat better, you know, not going to drink as many sodas, going to lose 20 so pounds, and you know, we're going to do this. That is a New Year's resolution. Somebody's New Year resolution could be this: I'm going to read my Bible more, I'm going to pray more, I'm going to do less of this, I'm going to shop less, or I'm going to do all that. We look at a New Year's resolution, and it's really when we make a commitment of self-improvement. I did a little study on this, and a poll was taken in the year 2007 at the University of Bristol involving 3,000 people, and it showed that 88% of those who set New Year resolutions fail. Have you ever not kept a New Year's resolution? Wow. New Year resolutions is something that we just talk about. It's secular, and I know it's not really spiritual here today, but hear me today. At the very beginning of a new year, each individual begins to analyze naturally. Maybe you don't. I do. I begin to analyze the year before and begin to look at the year that's coming after and try to figure out what I need to do better, what I need to improve in. Understand this today. A resolution is only an inward determination, but here today in this church, we don't really need a New Year's resolution. You need a New Year's commitment unto the Lord Jesus Christ. A resolution is only an inward determination, where a commitment really is a binding promise. This year we want to make some New Year commitments to the Lord. I do anyhow. I want to make sure I do more for Him. I want to make sure that I go further. I want to make sure that I seek Him more. I want to be sure I read my Bible more. I want to be sure I see more people saved. I want to be sure that I'm using and more gifts of the Spirit. I want to be sure I know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to make commitments to the Lord for a new year today. Amen. We're going to preach to you here today. We read through the Bible, we'll understand a few things, that when it comes to those in the Scriptures, we would know that there's some people even here today, I don't know every individual, some people object to making vows. But in the Bible, you will find many great men and God-directed men of God that went to Jesus. They were directed by covenants. They were directed by promises. They were directed by vows and pledges. Even the psalmist would say this: this. The psalmist wrote this in Psalms 56 and 12. He said, "Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render my praises unto Thee." So you would understand when it came to proclamation and pledges and commitments and covenants and vows in the Bible, that it often happened with those that were used of the Lord. I hear me today, friend. I know sometimes we try to avoid making certain commitments, and wisely so. The Bible tells us, "Let your nay be nay and let your yea be yea." If you say you're going to do something, you need to learn to do it. You need to learn to pursue after that. If you fail in that, just repent and go forward. It doesn't cause you to be hung up for months at a time. But I'm telling you today, it would do all of us in this room today, from the youngest to the oldest, to make a fresh commitment to the old commissions that God has given us. We need to analyze self. We need to look at our hearts and begin to discern the facts that we need to make new commitments unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I read throughout the Bible, I find so many good examples. We could talk about so many things of so many men that made promises and accomplished great things about kingdoms being raised and kingdoms being pulled down, men of God being used. You can read Hebrews chapter 11. My, how God used so many different people. You can even look in secular history. So many faithful men of God who sold their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave themselves completely to Him, made a covenant with Him, and God used them greatly. Has anybody here today ever heard of a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards? Now, I don't agree with everything with Jonathan Edwards. He was an old Christian writer. Have you ever heard of the sermon, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God"? They would make many people read that in schools at one time. One of the best put together sermons probably. You ought to look it up online and look it and read that. But he made some different commitments in his life. Jonathan Edwards said this. Jonathan Edwards' first commitment was this. He said he was resolved never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way he could. He said, "Life is but a vapor, and I need to take every moment in time. I need to take every day. I need to take every day on the job, every day at school, every time I'm in church. I need to take that as a binding time and a commitment for the Lord Jesus Christ." He also said something like this. He said he resolved never to seek out revenge on anybody. He also said this. He resolved never to do anything which he despised in another. And he also said this, one of my favorites. He resolved never to do anything which he should be afraid to do if he knew this was the last hour of his life. He lived by these commitments, and he made a great impact on this world. My counsel to you today when it comes to making vows unto the Lord Jesus Christ is this. As I read to you in our text, it says this, "Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay." We would understand that when we come to this, when we're making vows unto the Lord Jesus Christ, you should never do it lightly. We have people say they're going to do things all the time. "I'm going to do this for the Lord." And I've been there. Have you ever said you're going to do something and didn't do it? Man, I know I have a few times. You know, I don't have no S on my chest. I'm not a Superman. I am not some special person. All I am is a human being. There's been time, I remember one time, I joke around about it now. You know, there at one time, we would have a 24-hour prayer meeting at an old church. That means when somebody was praying from 6 in the morning to 6 the next morning, we had a list there on the pulpit. You would go up there, you would say, "We need to do it here maybe a few times." I've seen God move through it. Seen people get filled with the Holy Ghost. Seen revival come through it. We had one revival that went 7 whole weeks of moving the Spirit of God. It was phenomenal there. But I remember we did that 24-hour prayer meeting, and it would come, you know, most of the day would get filled up, but there was always a gap on that sheet from about 12 at night to about 4 in the morning. And I made the commitment one day. I was down there praying. I said, "Lord, I'll fill in every blank on that sheet, Lord. And I'll pray every time there's a blank spot up there, Lord. And I'll get down there." And I remember at the end of the week, and I went up there to fill in the sheet. I had to pray for 4 or 5 hours in a row. It was like 12 to 5 in the morning. And I thought to myself, "Lord, if you'll forgive me this time, I don't know if I can do this every time. Lord, it's wearing me out." You know, but what I'm saying today, it's good to make vows to God, but we also need to be careful. We do not need to take them lightly. We need to keep our word unto Him. And like I said, if you do fail occasionally, God's mercy and grace will be there to help you, and you can learn from your mistakes. Amen. Some people will not make vows because they are afraid of failure. I'm telling you today, if we live life like that, there would be nothing done for the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot worry about failure all the time. You cannot worry about if it doesn't come to pass. You've got to make those commitments at times, and you've got to serve Him anyhow. Hear me today, friend. Carnal people refuse to make commitments unto the Lord because they want to be free from any binding promises. Somebody that's carnal is kind of saying, look, you know, I'm free to do what I want, Lord. And if I make this commitment, I know I'm not going to keep it anyhow. You know, Lord, why should I try to make that commitment? Why should I do this? And I'm telling you today, a man who never makes a commitment to Christ and just wanders about without any loyalty is useless in the kingdom of God. If you're here today and you've never made a vow unto the Lord to pray and read and be faithful and commitment unto Him, I'm telling you, friend, you're going to struggle and you're going to be useless for the kingdom of God. But a man, you show me a man or a woman who determines to do the will of God and make any commitment he has to do so to get it done. And though it does not secure his success or make him perfect, that individual will be used of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that man or lady will make a commitment and will do their very best to stick by it. Do your very best to live by the vows that we make unto the Lord Jesus Christ. When I read throughout the Bible, there's many different examples that I come across. I come across the life of Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which they drank. Joshua said this very saying here. He said, as for me and my house, we will do what? Aren't you glad he made that commitment? And my Lord, parents, it'll do you a lot of good if you said it. My Lord, stand up in the doorway. Go to your children's bedroom and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If you have to pray every morning, if you have to anoint everything in your house, I don't care how you do it. Make the commitment. Pray about it. Make that decision. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Come what may, come hell and high water, come the wall, come the enemy, whatever it is, I'm telling you, friend, you can make a commitment to serve Him. You can make a dedication that your house is going to be a godly house, that's going to be an anointed house, that's going to be a house where the presence of Christ dwells, and if a sinner comes in there, you'll instantly be arrested by His presence, because you have to make that commitment first and foremost. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. My. We're going to stop here for a moment and preach to you. Because what my concern is this. There's more trash that comes into our house through television and the internet. It's impossible for that house to serve the Lord. Hear me today, friend. What's your tolerance, Brother Derek, when it comes to the filth of this world? Look, I know there's good and educational things out there. I know there's things out there you can watch and listen to that is edifying. I am not ignorant about that. But if you let the violence and the pornography and the murder and the cussing and all those things that come to your house, you get to make that commitment. You've got to say, as for me in my house, I'm going to guard my house. I'm going to guard my children. As for me in my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I remember when I first got saved, you know, and I would pray through, and I was living at home then, and Mama would tell you this is the way it happened, and nothing to do with me, but I remember we had a DirecTV, and I'm not against it. If you have it, that's way up to you, but I'm telling you, when you're raising a house full of children at times, you've got to be careful. You do. You can't just let anything just pour into the ears and the minds of your children. And I remember one morning getting up real early in the morning. It was about 2 or 3 in the morning. I saw my little brother sitting in there. He was watching TV real late at night, man. And the stuff that was coming across the TV was so impure and so defiled. Here it was, my little brother done sat there for 3 or 4 hours. He's watching things come through that TV. It's filling his mind full of perversion. It's filling his mind full of lust and sin. I sat there and I felt the Holy Ghost smote my heart instantly. I called Mama the next day. I said, Mama, we need to get rid of that for right now. You can get it later on, but I'm telling you, it's defiling our household. Here it is, we're trying to take our kids to Sunday school, and then we sit them down in front of a TV sometimes, and it completely reverses what we just told them. That is a problem, my friend. That is an issue that must be dealt with. Every parent, every grandparent, every son, every daughter, you've got to learn to make a covenant with your eyes. You've got to learn to make a covenant with your ears. You've got to learn to make a covenant for your household. If not, don't you dare complain. Why is little Susie or little Johnny, why are they out in the world? Why do they desire to be this way, dressed that way, talk that way, listen to this or that? I tell you what it is. There hadn't been a covenant made, and there needs to be one made. Oh, yes. going through my siblings were just going through that rebellious stage. Well, we told Daddy. Daddy didn't like it at first. I said, Dad, I'll pay the cancellation if we need to. You know what happened? And this has nothing to do with anything. And I'm not saying that it's just this example. Take it is what it is. But we got rid of it for that time being. But hear me today, friend. What happened a few months later? I took my little sister with me to preach somewhere. And I watched her pray through an altar. You want me to tell you what it was? I believe obedience. And I believe commitments. And I believe covenants and vows unto the Lord will be honored. If you learn to be like Joshua and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to make our minds up this new year. My house, I can't help my neighbor's house. I can't help nobody on the pier beside me. But me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We focus on everybody else's house sometimes. What about your house? It'll do everybody in this room occasionally. I've done it a few times. Analyze. Go through every DVD you own. And if it ain't good, throw it in the trash. Amen. Well, I was raised a little different. There was certain music I was told you didn't listen to. And I remember one time my parents wouldn't buy it for me, but I went to school and borrowed it from everybody. Well, Daddy found it. A big old stack of CDs. I dare say maybe 200, maybe $100+ worth. I came home and they were all broken. Everyone, I said, Dad, they won't mind. He said, I told you not to bring it in here, son. He said, I didn't know whose it was, but you're going to have to deal with it now. I remember there was a boy in school I borrowed a CD from. His name was Alex. He was about 6'3", and man, he chased me around for 6 months looking for that CD. And I remember one day he reached through the car window and grabbed me by my shirt. And I said, where's it at? I said, I got $10. Take $10. And I want a punk, but I knew this. I didn't have the CD because Daddy said it won't come in there. I'm telling you, friends, once again, ask for me in my house. Ask for me in my house. Ask for me in my house. I'm going to serve the Lord. When I was seeking for the Holy Ghost, I was telling the teenage class this morning, I was afraid to look at a TV. Why? Like, I'll tell you how B.H. Clendenin said it. Forget me, because I ain't bragging, nothing to do with me. Brother Clendenin sat down on an airplane one day. He was about to go preach, and I forget where it was. It was one of those Middle Eastern countries. And Brother Clendenin was probably one of the most straightforward Pentecostal men of God. He was a modern-day Paul. He was sitting on the airplane, and one of the ladies came up to him, and one of the flight attendants, and said, sir, would you like to watch John Wayne? He said, look, ma'am, I've got nothing against John Wayne. He doesn't bother me here or there. But when I'm about to preach in a few hours, I don't want to be thinking about John Wayne in a pulpit. I don't want to be thinking about a Western scene in the pulpit. He said, I want to be in tune with heaven. I want to make sure when I get up there, I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I'm not worried about the stats. I'm not worried about the reports. I'm not worried about if the damsel got saved or not. I want to get up there full of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, church, how do we get filled once again? You make room for it. You make commitments. You make vows, and I'm going to receive it if it's in it, if it kills me or not. What's the key to getting filled with the Holy Ghost? It's a vow and a commitment, and you'll get filled. Bottom line. What's the key to living a pure life? Make a few covenants. Does that mean you'll never fail? No, it does not. Does that mean sinless perfection? Hear me today, friend. You can live an overcoming life. But John Wesley didn't teach sinless perfection. I'm not teaching sinless perfection. What I'm saying is this. You are a human being. There's going to be times in your life you have doubt. There's going to be times you have unbelief. But if you can stand square-footed and say, I made a commitment. I made a vow. And even though I don't feel it right now, I'm still going to keep it because I made it. Hello. Happy New Year. Trying to relay this to you. How about Daniel? Let's leave Joshua alone. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Can you picture Daniel, that young entrepreneur, that man of great wisdom and great insight? Can you imagine when he comes there to Babylon, he's entered into there, the courts there, and he had already purposed in his heart he would not defile himself. Can you picture as they lay that big piece of meat out in front of him? And he thinks to himself, I don't know what trouble I'm about to get in, but I ain't eating it. I'm not going to eat that. I don't know what's going to happen to me. But can you imagine as the chief man, as the prince there, the man that was in charge of them comes in there. Can you imagine what it was like as Daniel said, look, sir,
I'm not eating that. I've made my mind up as a vow of mine. I will not consume it. If you'll give us time, if you'll let me eat this, and we know about the fast of Daniel and the meal that Daniel ate there. But hear me today, he purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. And what you need to do today, if you don't do anything else, and this is just my introduction, I'm telling you, friend, you've got a purpose in your heart. You've got to make your mind up. If you're a teenager and here today, let me tell you what you need to do. You need a purpose in your heart. If you're here today and you've been saved all your whole life, you still need a purpose in your heart that you're going to go further in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now as we go on, we read about a lady named Hannah in the Bible. And we know that Hannah had a son. We know the Samuel. We know the story, the beautiful story. And we know there she could not, she was a barren lady. She could not have children. And here she is. We know that she's praying and she's talking to the Lord. She goes to the temple there and she's praying. I mean, she's just crying out of her heart. She's praying so fervently that Eli, the priest, or the priest there, thought she was drunk. Wouldn't that be something if we were so lost in the Spirit and the world thought we were drunk? You said, is that possible? It's called Acts chapter 2. Read it. If it do you a little good, quote it. We've been sober too long in the Spirit. We need to let the Spirit take control a little bit. Pentecostal churches, we've lost our holy roller title. It's a sad thing. It is. But do some of us good to get our hair messed up. No matter how much it costs to fix it. To do you good. It's all right. It is. Now understand this, Hannah here. She prayed. God gave her a son. She gave him a son. In her petition, which she asked him, but she said this, as long as he lives, if you give me the son, as long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. Can you imagine what it was like as God spoke life to that woman, allowed it to conceive that child? Can you imagine what it was like there when Samuel came into this world? But can you also imagine what it was like as she's holding that little boy there and she tells the Lord, Lord, I made a commitment to you. This is precious to me. I was barren and you gave me a son. This is my firstborn. This is my blessing. This is my prayer answered. But can you imagine what it was like for her to leave that little child there at the temple because she made a commitment unto the Lord? Amen. The American Hannah might have been something like this. Lord, that was too extreme, you know. Why would I lend him? And I know it's a different covenant and a different tithe, but what I'm saying is this. She believed that covenant and that promise so much that she did what she had to do. We come across a woman by the name of Ruth in the Bible. She said this, we know this. She entreated me not to leave when she's talking to Naomi. She said, for whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God shall be my God. That was a vow and a promise. You ever heard that quoted at a wedding? You know when you got married, you know what you did to each other? You exchange what? Man, we've made that to where you can... It's a piece of paper nowadays, you know. I don't care what the court system tells you. It's a vow unto the Lord. It's not to be taken lightly. Why do we tell teenagers to be careful and prayerful and seek the will of God? Because the divorce rate in America is over 50%. I've heard somebody say, don't preach that. What do you preach? It's a vow. It's what was made at an altar. And look, I don't know everybody's situation. And Lord knows, I know there's some tragic things that happen. And I promise you, I'm not deviling into that at all. But I promise you this, you're not to get a divorce because they parked in your parking spot. He hung his towel up in the wrong place and we can't just get over it. We argue because he said this, get over it. We've treated it so lightly. What about sickness or health, for better or worse? What about the worst thing? I'm telling you, friends, once again, even in a new year, it would do some of us good to look at our spouses and say, I make a new vow to you. Last year may have been rough. Last year may have been rocky, but I make a new vow. I'm going to love you, and I'm going to recommit myself to you in a fresh way. I remember one time, it was just an individual experience. Me and my wife, when we first got married, it was a lot of transitions. And was a few times we butt heads. Maybe you didn't when you first got married. I'm just saying for us. And maybe you'll forgive us for being honest with you. But you ain't got to tell me your story. I'll just be honest with you. We bumped heads a little bit. Nothing, man. I mean, not to the place of, you know, but I moved her 3 hours away from home. She couldn't go to mommy. She couldn't run home. And I couldn't go nowhere either. I loved her and she loved me. Little things, you know, you work through them, you work through them. But I remember one day I was praying. I asked my wife, you can ask her. I came home with the whole thing of water and I felt in my heart to get to have a foot washing, just me and her. But you know, it did a lot for me. Because I realized that it had been a few weeks since I showed her how much I really loved her. I remember taking that little pail of water. She thought it was funny at first, and she still probably chuckles about it. But it healed my heart. It was something I felt like I was resubmitting myself to her. I'm telling you, young. I'm telling you, those that are married in this room. Let's do our best to our spouses. Let's be an example as Christ in the church. Let's be a display of what Jesus intends marriage to be. We cannot expect this world to get better if we ourselves are sick. We've got to be the example. We've got to be the ones that leads the march. We've got to be that church that is an overcoming church. As I look at this, and friends, if you indulge me a little longer, David says this, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Hear me today, friend. This is so important. We need to understand once again, God, in this church, in Abundant Life Tabernacle, in my own heart as a pastor, all of us together, Lord, help us make vows unto the Lord that we serve you and we do everything we can to do the will of God. Lord, help us, Lord, see the delight in the laws of God. Vows unto the Lord. And I'm not out of words, friends. I'm just trying to be obedient to God. You know what would be wonderful for some of us here today? If you're lost, there's no better time to give your heart to Him and make a vow to Him. I remember when I got saved, I felt like, and you do it out of innocence, but you're making vows when you get born again. I got down in them altars and you pray, Lord, I'll die for you. There was no price that was too high. My Lord, I was so in love at the mercy and grace that I felt. There was no vow too great. You know what happens to us as we progress along in our walk with God sometimes? We get so accustomed to forgiveness. We get so accustomed to grace that sometimes our vows get very weak and very small. Lord, I'll pray. You should pray. But what about saying, Lord, I'll pray from here to here? Hey, think about it. Lord, I'm going to do this year. And what about really meaning it and really going forward with it? When I read throughout the Word of the different ones that made such great commitments here today, friend, I come across so many great examples. Today I want to be honest with you. I want to kind of move in towards our altar call phase of this the service. We have another year that's right in front of us. And sometimes the subject of time swiftly passes by us. And we do not even realize how much time we had this year. I do a little study in here. And as we look into the year we just came through and about to end, we look back at time, we see 12 months, don't we? 12 months in a year. We see 52 weeks. 365 days, 8,760 hours, 525,600 minutes, 31,536,000 seconds. Was any of that wasted? Yes. Can we agree? Some of it was wasted. As we look at that amount of time, all of that time is a gift from God. The service this morning is a gift from God. Merry Christmas. This is a gift. You being able to come into His presence. You to be able to sing the songs of Zion. You to be able to hear the Word of God. You to be able to come to the altars is a gift from God. We think of this, how much time? 31,536,000 seconds. I wonder how much that was wasted on things that were frivolous and did not matter. How much time in those 8,760 hours, the gift of time is in His hours. God has given it to us. If you're rich or poor, if you're short or tall, it does not matter. All of us are given this gift. This new year we're about to go in is a brand new and fresh 12 months, 52 weeks, 365 days, 8,760 hours, 525,600 minutes, 31,536 seconds. What are you going to do with them? Won't you make your mind up today? Begin to pray. I heard about a pastor one time. He passed out pieces of paper throughout his congregation. He said, I want you to make a spiritual proclamation between you and the Lord. You ain't going to show nobody what you desire to do in a brand new year. And today, friend, as we look at this and get to the altar calls, my wife's about to come to the piano. As that pastor passed out that piece of paper and asked his congregation to write something down they knew they needed to improve on, it was a divine moving of God's Spirit in that service. Let me tell you why. It causes you to realize that you have failures somewhere in your life. You don't make new vows and new commitments to do better unless you think there's something to do better about. You're not going to ask God, Lord, I want to pray more if you're already praying plenty. Amen? And you can't ever pray enough, I know that. But we look at this, friend, as we come into this, for some people, it is very hard for them to make a genuine vow to the Lord because they have to admit that they failed in some area and need to do better. And I've got other areas of this message I could take it, but we're going to preach it maybe tonight. I don't know when, if God will let us. But what we need to understand this as you stand to your feet, it is a brand new year. It's a brand new time. Wouldn't it be wonderful, and I know it is impossible, I know it is, if we knew, what if all of a sudden, I've used this example a few times here, what if all of a sudden we've got the great news flash throughout the church world, the Lord's coming back at the end of year 2015. How would you live? Would you not reach out to your lost loved ones? Would you not read and pray more? Would you not evangelize? Would you not seek for more of the Spirit of God? Would you not seek to do more for Him if you knew for a fact He was coming on December 31st of next year? What would you do in 2015? But can I throw a news alert your way? That's very possible. You don't have to have a news alert. If you have the Spirit of God, I'm telling you, He's been moving in the hearts of many. He's preparing a church, and He's about to take her out of here. Friend, today as we move into the altar call of this service, I would today that you would make commitments unto the Lord. If you're lost today, I'm telling you, let God renew you. Let God save you. If you look back at year 2014 and give me your attention just for a few more moments, give me your attention, and you realize in 2014... as I was praying for this and even feel now in confirmation in my spirit. Some of you could look at 2014. You had bouts of depression and oppression. Mind battles. Things you didn't understand. Family situations. Things that at times tried to grip hold of your very spirit. Things that you looked for relief from. You knew you needed God's help. I'm telling you, you can enter into your 2015 in complete victory. God can help you. Whatever it is, the grace of God is here today to make you a better person and to help you for a new year. Everybody would bow your head, close your eyes. Please.